flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
My understanding is this is not a shoe-in right now for Mike Vrabel, and under NFL rules, they do need to run a legitimate search. One name that already has a request in is Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. The other top candidate, along with Vrabel, who many expect can land a job in this cycle. This is very notable here with Ben Johnson. Because in the past couple of years, of course, Ben Johnson has had opportunities 2 years ago in Carolina, last year in Washington to take head coaching jobs. Ultimately, in both those cases, he pulled back. I am told Ben Johnson does intend to interview with both the Patriots and the Bears for their head coaching positions this week. He is interested in those jobs. He has been intrigued by the Bears job for some time. And now that the Patriots job with Drake May at quarterback has become available, Mike, that is certainly a possibility to monitor for the Patriots, who, again, will have a real search here that goes beyond the guy that they know very well.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, that's good news.
Well, 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 that's great news. That's the best news. He's the best candidate out there. He's the guy I would want the most.
I agree. Does everybody agree with that? 617-779-7937. Ben Johnson, greater than everyone on the board, greater than Vrabel. I agree. You agree. But you all out there agree.
No. I know that they don't, because I was even seeing it on Twitter yesterday. We've seen it in the Twitch chat today, some of the text lines in. I think people are a little gun-shy of a first-year head coach because of how bad Gerard Mayo was as a first-year head coach. I would just say there are noticeable differences between the two. Noticeable, notable, both. That he's a coordinator, at least. Gerard Mayo was never a coordinator. And people kind of brushed past that a little bit. Then he took over. And you're like, man, this guy was really only in charge of inside linebackers. And now all of a sudden he's in charge of the entire thing.
And he ran a few meetings during the week. He never called plays.
Nope. So like he didn't have like one thing to really hang his hat on as a great skill set. Whereas Ben Johnson has been, he's still young, right? He's, I think, 38 or whatever. He's right around the same age as Mayo. But this is his third year as being full-on offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. And everyone's like, oh, he's got great players. He's got great players. Well, he wasn't the OC Dan Campbell's first year, where they went 3-13. They had Jared Goff. They had Amon-Ra St. Brown. They had some of the other guys that were on the O-line. They were the 25th offense. Ben Johnson takes over the next year, where they have Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and a lot of the same guys, fifth-ranked offense. This year, best offense.
It was a slow start, but meaning his first year in Detroit, but they righted that ship by the end of the year. They were awesome a year ago. Now they, I believe, for the first time in franchise history, are the one seed in the NFC, and they won 15 games.
And you're right. Like, I'm not going to ignore the fact that, you know, Sonic and Knuckles are great. and Sonic was a first-round pick. And what did we say the other week? 4/5 of their offensive linemen, I believe, are first-round picks. We might have been talking about that off the air, actually. But it was,
sorry, say it again. I was just reading
some news.
Their
offensive line, 4 out of 5 are first-round picks.
Yes.
Like, they have studs. I get it. And so if he comes here, he doesn't have all that. But to put Drake May in the hands of Ben Johnson and to match him up with a guy who you don't have to be afraid of losing. That's the problem when you have like a really good offensive coordinator and he's matched up with the quarterback. Well, all of a sudden he becomes the head coaching candidate and he's gone.
Right. You don't have to worry about McVay. Well, I mean, I guess McVay has talked about retirement.
Well,
but you don't have to worry about him leaving.
No, you put him in place and he's your guy.
He's doing everything.
So I think he is the best. There's nobody that is 100% a guarantee lock, right? Like he's never been a head coach before. Maybe it does overwhelm him, but I'll take my chances.
So Tom Pelissero says Ben Johnson has not just been requested to interview. He is going to interview with the Patriots, and he's intrigued.
Basically, Pats and Bears for Pats. Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, Drake May. So it maybe shouldn't come as a surprise.
That is great news, because I kind of thought this was going to be a sham. Maybe it still is, and Vrabel was in the Patriots' back pocket. They have to go through the interview process, but it sounds like from Ben Johnson's level, there's interest.
This is exciting.
You go into it. We said this earlier, Keith. This is what we talked about earlier. You go into it thinking you're going to hire Vrabel because you have a connection and you like him, and that's your plan. But you're forced to go through a process now. Unlike last year, where Jerod Mayo had it in writing, he was going to get the job. You go in, you meet with Ben Johnson. Number one, he really likes Drake May. He has a vision that he can sell you on for the organization. And maybe you start to talk yourself into it. So that's how you need it to play out. Because I think they're absolutely going into it thinking Vrabel's their guy.
I'll do you one better. If you get Ben Johnson, who's to say you can't get somebody from the Detroit front office?
100%.
Nobody's drafted better than Detroit over the last 5 years.
I brought up the name a few weeks back, Ray Agnew, former Patriot. He's the assistant GM in Detroit, but pick who you want. John Dorsey.
Any of those guys.
Pick anybody from their front office. They know what they're doing. So, right.
Look, what a coup.
I would much rather attach myself to Ben Johnson and Detroit front office guy X, Ray Agnew, versus Mike Vrabel and Mike Borgonzi, who's also come from an organization that drafts very well with the Chiefs. And Vrabel needs an offensive coordinator. It can't be Brian Daboll, who is back with the Giants. One bit of news when you were talking about the Lions offensive line, I was reading this.
Yeah.
Ryan Grubb, after 1 year, out with the Seahawks as an offensive coordinator.
So they went Shane Waldron. Everybody's happy that he was gone. They brought in Grubb. So offensive coordinators have been dropping like flies.
They are getting fired.
Speaking of, also, if you want to add this to a potential positive for Ben Johnson, if you don't want too many voices in Drake May's ear, you could retain Alex Van Pelt and have him do Ben Johnson stuff.
Alex,
and Ben's calling plays, but you're here basically being a high-level quarterback coach.
Same salary.
Yeah.
You're still the offensive coordinator. But you're effectively a quarterback's coach in name because, right, Ben Johnson's going to come in and call the plays. I think that would be a great situation. Ben Johnson calling plays and Van Pelt working with these young quarterbacks.
I said there's no perfect candidate. I'm wrong. Ben Johnson, perfect candidate.
So, wow, Tom Pelissero says there's interest there and he will take a meeting. Good. That's all good. Let me recap a few other items here that have come out today. Obviously, Burt Breer reported earlier that Ben Johnson has been requested for an interview with the Patriots. As you just heard there, he will take it. Giardi says, I've talked with a half dozen league execs today. They all believe Mike Vrabel will be the Patriots' next head coach.
Yeah.
Not surprising. I will just point out, most in the league until this week expected Mayo to be back.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're just working behind a little bit on the news. But that's what I think we mostly assume. If I had to wager, it's still going to be Vrabel. Giardi's heard it from six different half dozen personnel people out there. Breer also had this on the front office. As I've heard it, the Patriots aren't planning on hiring a search firm to conduct their process. A lot of teams do this, especially in college, but NFL teams do it as well. Search firm, they bring you a bunch of names, then you interview them, blah, blah, blah. They won't do that. It's going to be Robert and Jonathan running point with potential for a few others to be involved.
Who's that?
Robin Glazer?
If Elliot Wolf is still here, shouldn't he be involved in the head coach hiring?
Well,
not that you and I think he should be here, but if he is, isn't that part of the job?
Unfortunately, it sounds like Elliot Wolf is still going to be here, and my answer is yes. If Elliot Wolf is here, he should be part of it. They're diving right in this week.
Wow.
Breer also notes Vrabel is a leading candidate, of course. Curran said it's way premature, and Curran's got a direct line there to people high up in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's way premature, way, way, way premature, to assume that Vrabel's a done deal.
Maybe he's right. Maybe Ben Johnson thing is legit.
He also said, I anticipate personnel department getting more time to right the ship and fix the roster.
Yeah, love that. But
Phil Perry wrote about that today. His colleague at NBC Sports Boston, new system for Elliott Wolf. Kraft likes the system or doesn't want to go away from it after 1 year. So that's working in his favor. Never mind that weasel throwing Mayo under the bus for no development and all the holes on the roster and everything else.
Yeah, on his way out the door.
Then this just happened in the locker room. And tell me if I'm missing anything else, guys. Players are speaking now. Robert Kraft's going to speak at 1 o'clock. You're going to hear it live on Jones and Keefe on WEEI, so go nowhere. Good friend of the show, Dietrich Wise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Said the players had a meeting this morning with the front office where they talked about the decision to move on from Jerod Mayo. So that I'm assuming that's Wolf. So if Wolf is talking about the decision to move on from Mayo, it shockingly sounds like he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yikes.
I think Robert Kraft also addressed the players, according to Mike Reese.
Oh, he did? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Robert Kraft addressed the players in a brief meeting. So maybe it was just him. Maybe it was some combination of some of the others. I mean,
I did not see this. Yeah. Robert Kraft addressed the players in a brief meeting late this morning. Players are now picking up their belongings in the locker room saying goodbyes. Okay.
And Wise also made a comment about how he wishes he could have said goodbye. He said he didn't get a chance to see him. Happened so fast.
Well,
that is true.
It did. It was very quick.
You blink and you miss it.
We gave you like 10 different chances to you know, talk about Jerod Mayo. It should have been on your radar every time you came on with Jones and Keefe when we were asking about Mayo and his job security and everything else.
He had to put out the fire of him telling the fans not to boo.
It's true.
Yeah. So he's a little sidetracked.
He had a lot on his plate. That's true. So it's Jones and Keefe here on WEI. We'll get to your phone calls here in a moment. WEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. That's our coverage all January long here on WEI as teams, not the Patriots, vie for a Super Bowl here. Hopefully they can get back to
14 teams still alive.
Yeah, hopefully they can get back to competing for those soon. And this decision is part and parcel to it. Let's get some phone calls here. John is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call before the interview with Kraft. Robert Kraft has single-handedly destroyed this franchise from the ground up. In 2020, he didn't give Brady what he wanted, and he signed Jerod Mayo to be the next head coach. In 2022, he let Belichick hire Judge and Patricia to be the offensive coordinators. In 2023, he let go of Bill Belichick. In 2024, he hired Mayo and then allowed him to coach and not get the first overall pick. Thank you.
Yeah, so you know
all right.
What? I don't disagree with much there.
Good bullet points.
The one thing I would give John, I think the Krafts are a massive problem, and I don't get why people talk about John Henry so different than Robert Kraft. I don't get that. I think they are 3A and 3B in this town. Best ownership is the Celtics by default, although we don't know who that even is. Jeremy Jacobs somehow has surged ahead of these two.
Yep, just being quiet, keeping his head in the sand.
They're both running clown shows. And so the one thing I'll say about Robert Kraft is he's admitted the mistake that he had to admit, and he fired Mayo. So for the first time in about 5 years, I go, all right, maybe. Maybe he gets it, and maybe they're going to right the ship. Maybe. Because I didn't even think he'd go through with this.
True.
If they hire Vrabel,
yeah,
I'm going to be disheartened because it's basically the same thing all over again. If they really went outside the box and hired Ben Johnson, I would feel real good about where they're going and that the Krafts are finally really taking their football team back over. I would start to feel real good about it. Firing Mayo's a start. Hiring Vrabel would make me think we're kind of right back in the same spot.
If Ben Johnson goes to Chicago because he prefers the Chicago job, like that's one where you're like, all right, then you got to find somebody else.
And yeah, I still wouldn't hire Vrabel.
You wouldn't.
No.
Yeah, I guess
I think will.
They would. As an aside, you see who the Jets have interviewed so far?
I just saw this.
Everybody under the sun.
I have to find. I know we're talking past, but this is kind of funny.
They are not talking to Ben Johnson, which more accurately, Ben Johnson probably just has no interest in talking to them.
This is the Jets. So, yeah, right. So, also of note, they're not talking to Ben Johnson.
No, but
they know will just say no thanks.
They're talking to plenty of people, though.
So, they're one of five head coach openings in the NFL. The Jets are one of them. And according to Schefter, this is the list so far.
Yep.
So, meaning it's probably not even done.
Implying more names to come, yeah.
Mike Vrabel, Ron Rivera, Rex Ryan, Brian Flores, Josh McCown, Joe Brady, Matt Nagy, Arthur Smith, Brian Greasy, Aaron Glenn, Vance Joseph, Bobby Slowick. Whoa. That's insane.
I like
it. You're going to talk to all these people?
Yeah.
And then, you know, my favorite thing always,
can I just,
they just finished an interview. Well, it took 20 hours.
I have no problem with the amount of people they're talking to. I have a problem with some of the specific names on the list.
The candidates are insane.
I actually think, I applaud the Jets for talking to like 15 people.
That's a lot of people.
That's what the Patriots should have done with Jerod Mayo last year. So I applaud the volume. Like, talk to a bunch of guys. You need to talk to Josh McCown at one end.
What are you talking to Rex Ryan about?
I don't hate the Rex idea, Ron Rivera. I really like Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
At least I did before I watched his offense
Vance
this
Joseph,
year. Thank you. Another good one.
The time of his life. I'm not bringing that guy in.
I'm going to nitpick some of the names, but what's better, talking to 15 guys or talking to nobody?
I mean, I guess I don't have to do the interviews, so probably 15.
15,
yeah,
for sure, I think. How about this guy's been waiting a long time, Stephen in Rochester. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Afternoon, fellas. So my thoughts on Joe Milton, he should have started the entire season based on what I've seen yesterday. I think we would have went farther and probably made the playoffs.
Maybe.
Not the championship game, but maybe the playoffs at least.
Maybe the playoffs.
I mean, not all the way to the championship. We don't get
what
crazy.
Are we doing?
Yeah. No, I think he kept it
reasonable. If you started Joe Milton all year, would they have been in the playoffs?
I'm going to say no. Okay. I'm going to say no. And I was as bullish on them at the beginning of the year as anyone.
Would they need six more wins, I think?
Let me say two things about Joe Milton.
Rocket for an arm.
In retrospect.
Yeah.
You're not going to start Drake May week one. Who should have started, Brissett or Joe Milton?
Obviously
week
Joe
one?
Milton.
I mean, I kind of think that
Brissett
now, too.
Shouldn't have been on the team.
Okay. I kind of think that now, too.
Yeah.
Number two.
He started way too many games, Jacoby Brissett did.
Let's all just acknowledge yesterday, and you can say it's out of Drake May's control, and we can all debate how much on the scale it works against Drake May. Yesterday was a bad day all around for Drake May. I think it looks a little soft that he played a series and went out.
I don't blame him for that.
No, I just said, I think it looks a little soft. I think Joe Milton winning a game is another quarterback who's won a game. He won as many this year as Drake May gets credit for three wins. Drake May really won one game, the Chicago game.
Oh, that's right. His record looks a lot different.
He gets credit for yesterday.
Yeah, just like Josh Allen takes the L.
Correct. So that's another win for another quarterback that wasn't him. And on top of it, Milton just kind of looked good. So now you got to deal with the whole Michael Bishop effect or the Jimmy Garoppolo effect of the backup
Milton?
Coming in
Milton.
And looking good. You're going to have to deal with that now. It was not an ideal day for Drake May.
You know,
we can debate how bad it was, but it was not an ideal day. What did he say?
Nick said in my ear, which we probably have to give it to him.
What?
Joe Milton, Haas of the Week.
Joe Milton, Haas of the Week.
Haas of the Week. You got to give it to him.
Congratulations.
Better Haas? Can't find one.
No.
Joe Milton.
That guy is a Haas.
Doing backflips. Can you imagine? Seriously, I think about this like every time I see him do that. If you attempted a backflip,
I would break my neck.
You would die.
Would I even get to my neck? I'm not even sure I would get to my neck.
Yeah, maybe you'd hurt something else.
Yeah.
But you'd probably pull two or three muscles.
Easy.
I think you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
If you try to do like a standing backflip.
Have you ever hurt after pressing lights at level 99?
That's true. You did hit lights and you got hurt.
My hands still do kind of hurt. I'm not going to lie.
No, but the fact that
it's a long-term injury.
He's a human being. I'm a human being.
Right.
He can do a backflip with football equipment on.
Mm-hmm.
And like the sheer thought of that makes me feel like I'm going to pull something.
Have you ever attempted a backflip off a diving board or a trampoline or anything
like
that?
Off a diving board.
Have you?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Not great.
Yeah, I don't even think I could. That's what I'm saying.
But at least it was in the pool. I could do like a front flip into a pool.
Yeah,
a back flip, I think I landed on my back.
Humble
or
brag, but same. But could
anybody can. All you could do is like lean forward.
Could I do a back flip?
No, you couldn't.
No, I don't think so either.
Because I get a little scared. I'm going to hit my face on like the cement. It can go bad. Like the risk reward for a 40-year-old doing a back flip into a pool. Hey, that looked kind of neat. Or I'm dead. So like I'm not doing back flips. But Joe Milton does them in full equipment. He doesn't get enough credit for that.
No. Haas of the Week.
And he's our Haas of the Week.
I mean, we're giving him credit, Keith. We're making him the Haas of the Week.
Brought to you by Wise Snacks. I don't know if they signed up for that or not.
Well, let me tell you. Sponsorship opportunities are available for the Haas of the Week if you're out there.
Could be anybody.
Yeah. No, it could be. You never know who it's going to be.
Yep.
I mean, it's probably
Dork Podcast.
meant it could be anybody.
Like who the sponsor will be.
I was going to say,
the Haas could be.
The Haas really couldn't be anybody.
No, it's going to be a big guy.
Yeah,
or big gal.
Like, no offense, Peyton Pritchard's probably not going to be your Haas of the Week.
Never has a chance.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Xavier Tillman, maybe Haas of the Week if he has a good game.
Kind of that material. Let's see. George in New Hampshire. Hello, George.
Hey, guys. I think Ben Johnson would be a better choice just to get out of the antiquated. I know Kraft. I played for Kraft. Turned away. It's totally out of the box, as you say. And it shows that the Patriots are just trying to change the system. To me, the only trouble I have is I'm not too sure of Wolf and his capability of drafting the right people.
Yeah, no, that's scary.
100%.
Wolf being around is scary.
That's right. I think going outside the comfort zone would be really good for Robert Kraft. Like, would they be willing to do that after all these years? I mean, hell, even going back to, and it ended up being the right hire, but, like, he hired Belichick the first time around because of the time he knew him when
connection.
Parcells brought him in, you know? And so.
But Pete Carroll I don't think.
No, that wasn't. That, but then he might look at that and be like, oh, that kind
didn't
of
go well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right. It's true. It's in his range of outcomes to do it, but it didn't work.
But yeah, it feels like what Mike Vrabel would be is a relatively safe hire.
I just think as a general rule of thumb, anybody connected to the Patriots and Bill Belichick, it's probably not going to go well. Mm. It's just probably not going, based on probability. You can just base it on stats, analytics. People love to do that in professional sports these days. Base it on analytics. The probability is poor.
But this is also the
anyone
nuance.
Anyone connected to Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Connected. I didn't say coaching tree. Connected.
Got it.
Anyone connected to Bill, it's probably not going to work out.
But would you say Vrabel's time in Tennessee overall good?
Good.
Yeah.
Not great.
No, I know.
Good.
But like if you put him in the tree, you'd be like, he's the best in the tree. I don't have him in the tree.
I do, and I would say he's the best of the tree.
Do you have Kevin O'Connell in the tree?
No.
Do you have Cliff Kingsbury in the tree?
No, those guys were both with Bill for 1 year. Vrabel was there for like 8 years. That's way different.
But never on the staff. I think being a player versus being on the staff is different. Because if there are guys that played in the league, NFL coaches now that are in the league, I wouldn't look back and be like, oh, he played for Coach X only as a player, and so he's like in that guy's tree. I think you it's a different way of looking at the game. I think
just
when you're
to be
on
safe,
the staff.
Stay away from Bill guys.
No, that's fine.
Just
I subscribe to that. Usually
stay away
well.
From your ex players. Stay yeah. away from people who played for Bill and or coached under Bill. And the probability is it's going to work out for you.
I get it.
How I would approach it. 617-779-7937. Let's get into Vrabel and how much Vrabel wants the job. Again, whether or not he'd be the right fit. Not only are the Patriots going to interview Ben Johnson, as we found out today, he's also going to accept that interview and go through with it. So what can the Patriots find out there? Other candidate suggestions to replace Gerard Mayo? We'll do all that with your phone calls. 617-779-7937.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
New England is open. Chicago is open. New England has Drake May. Chicago has Caleb Williams. Both of them have a lot of attractive things about them. If you were the belle of the ball, and who would you choose?
I would choose New England because of Drake May. I think the young man's got a chance to be an absolute superstar. I think he's got the chance to be Josh Allen. They've got the number 4 pick. They've got $130 million in salary cap space. I can go get T. Higgins and draft Emeka Ogbuka from Ohio State, and all of a sudden we got a really good, promising football team. I could draft Will Campbell from LSU and protect him. So I think that this is the place that is going to be for an offensive-minded head coach. If you are one, a Ben Johnson, I think that's the place that you desire to go to.
I heard that.
Gonna pay me enough to start Drake May.
Honestly, this guy is all over the map. Dan Orlovsky.
You gotta pick a lane.
Couldn't pay you enough to draft him. You'd sit him for 2 years.
No, couldn't. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't play him. You wouldn't play him.
Thank you.
That's what it was. You couldn't pay me enough to play him.
That's what
it was. That was in like week 1 or 2 when we were watching this offense. We're saying.
And before he was drafted, it was sit for 2 years.
Sit him for 2 years. Not ready.
Now he's the guy people are shoving each other out of the way of to take the job.
It's like, the best job out there because of him.
Figure it out.
I don't know.
Orlovsky.
Having a hard time with it.
I don't necessarily think he's wrong. What's the better job? You're Ben Johnson. Would you rather take Chicago or New England?
Chicago.
Me too.
I feel like Chicago's done a better job.
It's not because of the quarterback.
No. It feels like they have a little bit more outside of the quarterback. Even if you like Drake May more. You know, I still think Caleb Williams can be good. I know there's plenty of red flags and issues with Caleb Williams. I think the talent is there. They've been aggressive. They've been more aggressive, it feels like, whether it be in free agency or trades over the last few years, that I think that's a better spot. Because the other thing when you get in here to New England is, all right, you have Drake May, that's great. You have nothing else around you. How confident are you in the guy picking the players? And then also, how confident are you in the ownership spending a lot of money? So that's why I would think Chicago is a better job.
If they hired me, I'm Ben Johnson, they hired me, I'd feel a lot better about their chances of spending money. And maybe Ben Johnson can bring in a personnel guy with him so the Elliott Wolf thing scares him less. I would still take Chicago. And I preferred Drake May before the draft over Caleb Williams. I still prefer Drake May to Caleb Williams. But Chicago has other pieces on the roster I want to work with. The Patriots have nothing. Now, you could view that as a plus. You could say it's a completely clean slate. I only have Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, but I can bring in everything. And if you really want to go through with that undertaking, then more power to you. This is a better gig. And I would say Patriots ownership is better than the McCaskies. There's that too. But I do think the Bears have a little more in place, even just with Roma Dunze to work with. Caleb Williams scares me. He's always scared me, but he's talented. I would take the Bears gig. But that's me. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937.
I do think the Patriots are the second best job. As of today, as of this moment, there are only five openings.
Yep.
And you have the New York Jets. We just talked about how they're interviewing every single guy they could possibly. They don't know who their quarterback's going to be next year. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars, which might be appealing to some coaches, but they're keeping their GM, which seems like a mistake.
Yeah, Trent Baalke's going to be on his fifth coaching hire overall. He hired Jim Tomsula.
Wow.
With the Niners.
That's wild.
He also hired Harbaugh, to his credit.
Yeah.
And then the two hires in Jacksonville have been Urban Meyer and Doug Peterson. And he somehow is keeping his job.
So, but Trevor Lawrence.
That must be Elliott Wolf's hero. Elliott Wolf's like, Trent Baalke.
Yeah, that guy.
This guy's got it all.
But I would say, you have Trevor Lawrence, and I'm sure somebody like Ben Johnson probably thinks they can get something out of him, but I'd much rather work with Drake May or Caleb Williams than Trevor Lawrence at this point. And then you also have the New Orleans Saints, which are probably either fourth or fifth, between them and the Jets.
It's
pretty clear cut top
two. What's a worse job, New Orleans or the Jets right now?
I think the Jets might be worse because I think
you got to go in and trade Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, you got to figure that out.
I think New Orleans is worse.
Is worse?
They're both bad.
I just wonder if are you that far off from competing in the division?
Because it's a bad division?
Yeah, I look at that a little bit too.
Maybe.
Could you be a player in there? And maybe that's sort of the upshot on Jacksonville too. It's like, yeah, maybe you go in there. You're not going up against Buffalo or Detroit, which is what you would be in New England and Chicago.
True. By the way, Ben Johnson, it's come out, I think this was also from Burt Breer, that he needs alignment with ownership and the front office. He needs to be on the same page with the front office. If the alignment isn't there, he won't be interested.
All right.
So do you buy into whatever vision the Crafts have here? And are you comfortable with Robert and Jonathan? And then what's Elliott Wolf's role? That's going to be real important. And maybe Ben Johnson looks at it and goes, I like Drake May, but I'm not working with Elliott Wolf.
Yep.
And so are the Patriots married to Elliott Wolf? Are they just keeping him in the interim? Would they blow him out to hire Ben Johnson? They should, but that sounds like a huge element with Ben Johnson. And I wouldn't blame him for that. I wouldn't blame any coach coming in saying, I'm not going to have a shotgun marriage with some front office person that I don't agree with, align with, or even know.
This is also why last year, and I know you got to move on, but not having an actual head coach search last year,
awful,
is such a mistake, because you could have gone back and think of let's say they interviewed 10 candidates last year, and even if they still settle on Mayo, they probably go in remembering, all right, what certain candidates sort of shined, what didn't, but not only the individual person, but what about them? What did you like about that? So then now you have a lot to compare to with Ben Johnson. Because you didn't you'd gone 20 years without having to look for a head coach. So you're so far out of the game.
It's crazy.
When it comes to bringing in somebody, they come in there. I don't know how it works. You have a PowerPoint presentation or whatever you do. And you're like, this is what I would do to fix your team. Maybe they do it in 60 seconds like we did that one time.
That'd be perfect.
Like, hey, Ben Johnson, we got to run to lunch here. You have 60 seconds. What would you do to fix
the
pass?
He's like,
fire Elliott Wolf. I'll do this. I'll draft this guy. Like, okay, wow. What if he just did that and blows your hair back?
He said, burn down the lighthouse. He's out.
You're done.
Yeah.
But you don't have anything to compare it to anymore, which is just really a shame.
Phil Perry, one more note here. Yep. We'll get to your phone call. 617-779-7937. By the way, Robert Kraft speaks live from Gillette Stadium less than a half hour from now. You'll hear it here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Phil Perry says on the front office side, the process could be hazy. He detailed that Van Pelt and Covington haven't been fired yet. They probably will be. He says the Patriots, I hate this so much, the Patriots brought in a new system last January with Elliott Wolf. and the entire Wolfpack.
Yeah, they're all here.
Yep. Taking on the lead role after serving as director of scouting under Bill Belichick, that system was obviously heavily influenced by Wolf's time in Green Bay and later in the Packers-inspired front office in Cleveland, and it featured a different way of grading players than the way in which Bill Belichick operated for two decades as New England's football boss.
Have systems in place, and we will have systems in place.
It sounds to me, Keith, like how, whatever the grading system was in the language,
yeah,
the result was very similar when it comes to wide receivers specifically.
Spider-Man meme, pointing at each other, wide receivers.
It's a different system. Yeah. It's not N'Keal Harry. It's Jalen Polk.
How about all the graphics?
It's a different system.
All the national guys getting on that too, like the TV and on Twitter, just the receivers drafted by the Patriots. Ugh. Like everybody's been all over that. And then
it's
Polk
so
and Baker just like add him to the list.
He says if there's a reluctance from Robert Kraft to part with Wolf's system, he may encourage the next head coach to work with Wolf, which could be a non-starter for Ben Johnson. Kraft would also have to understand how arranged marriages between coaches, front office heads usually work or don't in the NFL, as mm-hmm. we were just talking about. That may leave open the possibility of a significant change on the personnel side of things. He goes on to suggest that Chiefs assistant GM Mike Borgonzi, local guy if you haven't.
Sure, heard that.
Everett, I think.
Yep.
Who overlap with Vrabel in Kansas City, might fit that bill as he previously worked under Chiefs GM and longtime Packers exec John Dorsey. So Wolf and Dorsey may see things similarly, may have similar grading systems. Borgonzi worked under Dorsey. Maybe there's more of a marriage there than you would think.
It's going to be tough to thread the needle. If you keep Elliott Wolf, is he 100% on board with the head coach hire? Is the head coach 100% on board with Elliott Wolf? Or then you have Kraft being like, well, you guys should work together. It's like, well, we don't really want to work together.
Right.
So, and like, or do you lose out on a candidate because you're keeping him? Like, that's, again, what some of the talk in Jacksonville, not that we care about them, but, well, they're keeping Trent Baalke, so some candidates might be like, no, I'm good. Because not that they want to be full Bill Belichick and have all say, but they want to have more say.
I think this is the exact thing we're talking about with Ben Johnson. Exactly. Yeah. Ben Johnson, I think, had some interest in the Jaguars' job. They keep Trent Baalke. It's a non-starter.
So
you're right there in the same spot. Uh-huh. Colin's in the car. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, guys. Rich, you're the man, by the way.
Thank you.
And I'm super surprised Daboll still has a job this morning. That's besides the point. After watching this season, I just feel like, personally, I kind of miss the Belichickian ways. That's why I wouldn't mind seeing Vrabel in here over Ben Johnson. I just feel like there's not – Ben Johnson's just got too much potential. I feel like the Krafts aren't going to spend. It's like kind of like what's the point of even taking the job?
Well, this would be my fear if they brought in somebody like Vrabel. Are you really going – we know Ben Johnson's going to cost $15, $20 million a year. He turned down jobs last year.
Yeah.
So are you really – spending, is it really different, or are you just kind of bringing in another guy you knew, a la Jerod Mayo? Is there any chance, Keith, just because he mentioned Bill, is there any chance given his buyout? I mean, you could bring Bill back.
A lot of people were talking about that on Twitter. They want to go back to Chapel Hill on your hands and knees begging.
You could go
I
back,
don't want him back.
You could go back and beg for Bill to come back. You could do that.
You could.
I wouldn't want that.
I don't think he would do it either. You think he would?
Yeah.
I don't know.
To come back to the NFL? Get the wins record?
I know, but
and
for
like
Robert,
really get
the Patriots?
Really get Kraft to bend over and smooch his shoes?
Well,
yes.
Get
yes.
like $30 million or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess he would.
I think
no,
would.
I do not think that's happening.
I don't
I
either.
Think it's going
to
be
and
more variable.
I wouldn't want it to happen,
yeah.
But that would be entertaining if nothing else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let's go to Patrick, who's in Lynn. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good.
Quick question for you. So even today, I'm hearing all the New England Patriot players saying they were so happy to win yesterday. Now, it's just I could be wrong, but I think the number one pick holds a little bit significance to it. And I think you have more room to play with. And I'm pretty sure, don't these teams have a team meeting like during the week of the game to say, hey, this is our goal?
Yeah.
And
so, Patrick, I don't mind the players saying they were happy they won.
The players, most of them won't even be here. And so, like, they can't just lay down and – you know, quit.
Does not getting the number one pick hurt you with Ben Johnson at all?
No, I think the main reason to go would be Drake May,
but
regardless.
Drake May and the number one pick
helps.
And a bunch of cash to spend helps.
Helps.
So it hurts
helps
you in that regard, too. 617-779-7937. Robert Kraft scheduled to speak at 1 o'clock live from Gillette Stadium. You're going to hear that here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get more into Elliott Wolf, not just supposedly keeping his job, but throwing Jerod Mayo under the bus. We'll get to these comments next.
You know, just what I told the players in there, just proud of the way that they came out and competed today. Obviously, there were some guys that hadn't played as much football, you know, the rest of the season that really showed up today. You know, just there in the locker room, pretty, you know, pretty emotional. But at the same time, these guys have been turning the page, ignoring the noise, and just coming to work every day, and I'm very appreciative of that. Told them after the first win of the season, you know, coaches are nothing without the players. And I just told them that again. I just appreciate all of the effort. Also told them, look, today it's all about the game. We'll have enough time here tomorrow and next couple of days to address all the other things. You know, at some point in time here, you know, I'll have my normal meeting with the crafts, and we'll see where it goes from there.
How'd that meeting go for Jerod Mayo?
It was quick. I would imagine it was pretty quick.
Oh, that's right.
He knew.
Was not retained. I also think he knew.
He already knew. You could tell.
I mean, I think
like,
the
we'll
whole...
see how it goes and all this other stuff.
The second Schefter said before the game, he was doing the whole in or out. I don't know if you saw this live, Keith.
I saw it on Twitter,
Was this... Okay, but you saw like the whole preamble?
Yeah.
Mort hated doing this segment. Things can change. It's all fluid. But I'm leaning Jerod Mayo out.
Leaning out. And there's like, a big graphic. He's standing next to this thing. He's like taller than him. It's
Mayo
like, out.
Out.
Yeah.
So,
and he didn't do that for a lot of guys, right? Wasn't it him and Doug Peterson?
I believe the only two. He said Daboll was probably safe. He was right.
Yeah.
He said Antonio Pierce is probably safe. Blows my mind.
It's weird.
He's like, Peterson's definitely a goner. Right. I'm leaning out on Mayo. Correct. So
only
know.
Five openings. If you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said 10.
I think you said on Friday.
Yeah.
I think you said nine.
Nine.
Like, I would have assumed the same thing. Five. Eight, nine, something
sitting
like that.
On five. I mean, there could be one that trickles out. There's always an off chance a playoff team gets frustrated with an early exit and makes a move. But as of right now, just five openings.
Okay. So that's Jerod Mayo yesterday. He was thrown right under the bus by Elliot Wolf, who it sounds like is going to be here.
Yeah.
I read you these comments earlier today. I think they're worth reading again. Because Elliot, it sounds like the two were trying to stab each other in the back to ownership. It sounds like Mayo would run upstairs to Thundercat, and he would say, oh, I don't have any players. What am I supposed to do? I knew it was going to be a long rebuild, and there's no players here. Did I mention there's no players? So I deserve year two, and then we'll get it all fixed.
We've all been dealt the hand we've been dealt, or whatever is what
he
said.
Yeah, the players are the players. Yeah. We've all been dealt a certain hand. Yeah. So he's trying to stab Elliot Wolf in the back to Thundercat. Then Elliot Wolf, after that meeting, runs over to Robert Kraft, and he says the following. After acknowledging that they are looking to improve the O-line, so he is finally acknowledging that.
What a relief.
Because last year you told us you had all the guys on the offensive line.
Yeah, we're good. We can protect the quarterback.
Now you are acknowledging you're going to improve.
Yeah, no.
He says, we're 3-13, so not good enough. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Good comment. Fair enough. That was before they won on Sunday. And this is to Henry McKenna, Fox Sports. He says, we have a lot of needs.
I would say, first of all, you're kind of just burying everybody that... was here before you, although you were one of those guys. You were on the
were
staff.
In the front. It's a weird, it's
so like
a
I'm taking
trick to
over, like we have a ton of holes to fill. It's like, well, you didn't just get here. You've been here a minute. You could have helped
you've been
prevent
here for years.
That.
You could have not picked Chuks Okorafor. You could have not picked KJ Osborne. He's got to walk a fine line because he knows Robert Kraft doesn't want to spend.
This is pretty amazing. There's only a handful of people that Elliot Wolf could really blame. And so he starts out by blaming the Bill Belichick and the previous regime.
Which plays with Robert. That does play with Robert.
Yes.
Bill screwed up.
Good point.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I fired Bill. Bill did screw up. We had a lot of needs. I would say that I guess personally, what I was expecting, maybe a little bit more internal development. And it's a good lesson, certainly, heading into next year, and that you can't always rely on that.
So that's all the coaches.
That's a direct shot at all the coaches.
Every
but
one of them. Mayo.
Mainly
Mayo. Well, Mayo for sure, but I think it goes even beyond that. Like, I thought we'd get some internal development. That could go down to each an individual position coach, coordinator, head coach. He's looking at it across the board. He thought the roster was good enough. He did. Maybe not like Super Bowl team, but he looked at the roster and was like, we're going to be good. If we take these guys here and if they get coached up a little bit, we're going to be okay. And he's telling you that they didn't get coached up. So he's blaming all the coaches, the previous regime.
Look, I don't think a lot of players got better here, but I would absolve Alex Van Pelt from that because May – might just be really good, but May, I think, improved. I mean, I know he made these comments before we saw Joe Milton on Sunday, but Joe Milton definitely looks like an improved player from the preseason. So don't tell me no one improved.
I think another way of looking at it is, across the board, how many of their guys do you think wildly underachieved? So knowing what they are, like I'm not going to say, oh, Vidarian Law was bad.
No,
right. Because he is bad.
Like maybe Ramondre?
Maybe. Maybe Ramondre. I think...
Yeah, everybody else just sucks.
Like, Christian Gonzalez had a really good
really
year.
Really good year.
Drake May showed improvement, was good. I thought both tight ends were better than I expected
Henry
them to
had
be.
A good year, yep.
Antonio Gibson was better than I expected to be. the receivers, I had such a low bar for that they probably, with the exception of a guy he's about to get to.
In
his quote, but like,
did Keon White regress?
So he started hot and then maybe went down a little bit. So that's okay. You can add that. You can add that one, I guess.
Speaking of the receivers,
yeah, this is good.
The rookie receivers didn't have it really that much for us, and you know, Jalen Polk was sort of, in our estimation, a plug and play.
So you and I think view this differently. I think that's a direct shot at Polk.
I think that's a shot at Mayo, but it's certainly not. It's a shot at Polk as well. Because I just think he's talking about the coaching staff.
No, there. He is, but they gave Polk an opportunity. And he's the early second round. He should be a plug and play. Ladd McConkey, top 10 in the NFL in receiving yards this year, was the 34th pick in the draft, which you traded out from. He doesn't mention that. He just says Polk was plug and play. Not that you traded out from a guy who might be all pro.
Unlike Ladd McConkey, definitely not plug and play.
He was not a plug and play. But you can slice that one up either way. Either he's blaming the player directly, and or the coaching staff for not being able to use him the right way. Pretty amazing, though. Like, he torches everybody involved except for him.
So, weasel move. I'm sure he's been doing the same thing to Robert Kraft.
We need to do better. It's like, you just buried everybody else. Yeah. What are you going to do better?
I'm sure that's the exact same thing he's been telling Robert Kraft to save his job. I'm reading more news here. Do you care at all that Drake May was not at the podium or his locker speaking today or yesterday? Does that bother you at all that Drake May doesn't speak at the end of the year?
I thought he would maybe speak today.
Me too.
Yesterday, kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, it's Milton's day. You don't want to upstage
it. Milton talk.
He should have talked today. That's odd.
I agree.
Might not mean anything. No. Maybe it speaks volumes that he wants to keep his mouth shut on Rob Mayo and everything that's going on here.
Maybe at the trots. And he's like, I can't be out here for this.
I hadn't fully thought that through. Perhaps
I can't be out here for very long.
Perhaps he had the trots. Breaking news.
I don't know. Yeah, you would think, because next year he's going to be a team captain, you would assume, and you would think that he'd be one of the guys talking. If there are guys who were hurt and didn't play, like Christian Gonzalez and David Andrews spoke today.
Let me just say this. If that was Caleb Williams, I'd be like, bad leader. And I kind of would think that about Caleb Williams. I don't want to let Drake May off the hook for this. He should have talked today.
Yeah,
that's
strange.
That's a weird leadership move. And that sounds like a Caleb Williams type of move.
That does.
617-779-7937. Sounds like Elliott Wolf is safe for now. Alex Van Pelt, DeMarcus Covington, both safe. Jerod Mayo, out. Who could be replacing him? What's the big picture plan for the organization? You'll hear from the owner, Robert Kraft, explaining all of this live from Gillette Stadium next on Jones and Keefe, WEEI.